Welcome to the Axelon Archives, where we watch each and every episode of the 90s CG cartoon Beast Wars. I'm James.
I'm Dode.
And this week, we have a special guest. We have Jake Mason of the Morphin' Grid, Pokemon Tour United, Cool Kids Table, Kingdom Smarties, Hard Reboot Cast, Spectre, and is that all of them, or did I miss one?
I edit Sailor.
Oh, right, and edit but...
And then soon to be, soon being in a year or so, one more. I think I have one more in me, and that's it.
I don't actually listen to Sailor Business, but I will never say anything bad about it because the reason we all know Shannon.
Yes, the heart.
Yeah, it's a good podcast, and it introduced me to Shannon, yeah. So it is aces in my books.
Yes, the hardest working man in podcasts.
I try real hard. I do my best. Thank you guys for having me on the show. I'm very excited to talk about Beast Wars.
Yes.
Yeah, we kind of just called in your marker saying that you have a legal responsibility to be on every podcast of someone you know.
Yeah. If we know each other, even tangentially through the internet, I am legally required to guest on your podcast at least once. If you do guest. If you don't, I totally understand.
Well, I'm glad to call that in for... this episode, which is episode 34 and the 8th episode of season 2, Bad Spark. Aired on February 22nd, 1998, directed by Steve Stacks and Jonathan Goodwill? Okay, both returning directors. And I forgot Jonathan Goodwill, directed Da Vinci's Inquest, which had Venus Turzo as a detective. That actually kind of sounds cool, seeing the actual voice of Black Arachne as a detective.
Is that Da Vinci's Inquest? That was a syndicated show on TBS or whatever.
Yeah,
right?
I would not shock me if this is a super Canadian show. That
sounds like Canadian.
I saw part of an episode. It kind of is.
Yeah, there's a lot of directors that and writers on the show who was like, "Oh, what's this one thing I never heard of?" It was something in Canada. That's not that shouldn't be that surprising.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it makes sense.
And this was written by Greg Johnson, who got his start with Biker Mice from Mars, which was given to him by Bob Ford. That's kind of cool, but also a weird connection.
Biker Mice from Mars was my, I'm going to conservatively estimate, fifth favorite show on Fox Kids. I think I had at least four that I liked more than that.
Yeah, that's one I have vague memories of, and it's kind of in that Street Shark vibe when people talk about it fondly. Is this ironic fondness? Is this honest fondness? Was it actually good? I don't know.
Here's why I don't think it was actually good. Is you can buy Street Sharks on DVD, all 40 episodes, for $9 on Amazon right now. I don't think you can buy Biker Mice from Mars. I don't think it is available.
That's a good measure of a success and memorability.
As someone who actually has the entire full series of Sliders for I think less than $10, I think that's true.
Yeah. To be fair though, you can also get Tattooed Teenage Alien Fighters from Beverly Hills for $7. So, your mileage may vary.
Just talking about Steve Sachs, once again, he is not that Steve Sachs.
Which one was the other Steve Sachs?
The baseball player.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah.
I would not have confused the two.
The Transformers wiki is very, very much more casual than a lot of wikis. And that is just something that is just on Steve Sachs' page. Mm-hmm. In fact, it goes into the one episode where a bunch of Major League Baseball players came into the Simpsons, and the Steve Sachs baseball player was framed for every single unsolved murder in New York City by the Springfield Police.
Okay, poor guy. So, seems a little unfair.
So let's move on to the episode itself. So, Jake, kind of mentioned something, did you remember any much of Beast Wars or this episode before watching this?
I remember a sliver of Beast Wars, because and I don't mean to pollute your podcast with talk about Prime Star, but I'm about to. So there was a defunct cable company called Prime Star, cable company called Prime Star that I am obsessed with. I'm the only living human being that has fond memories of it. And when the day we got it, I went and I turned it on, and I was like, oh, Cartoon Network, I don't know what that is, but it sounds rad as heck. I turned that on. Beast Wars was on, and it was an episode with the Panther guy. I think his name is Ravager.
Yeah. Ravage.
I don't know if you guys have seen him yet. I don't know where in the series it was.
Yeah, I think if it's the character I'm thinking of, he shows up in like the end, like the series, season finale.
Okay, so I saw the end of Beast Wars.
No, it's the end of this season, but like he's not around for very long.
Yeah, that's the joy of like cable television back in the day, where you'd like catch random episodes of a show, and like sometimes it would be like the last episode, and you'd be very confused.
Yeah, and you had nothing you could do about it. You're just like, all right, I guess I'm watching this one episode, but like it was like, you know, CGI, and there was animals that turned into animal people, robots, and like. It was rad, so I was totally in. I watched a bunch of it. I remember watching like Beast Machines, being like, "This is appointment television because it's gonna be on Fox Kids." Like, it's the Beast Wars people, but now they're different. I don't remember pretty much anything about that either, except for that maybe Silver Bolt was a bat now.
Oh, you're gonna be disappointed. So
half right, man.
Am I close on that? Does he turn into a bat boy?
There is a bat boy. It's not Silver Bolt though. He does show up. But that is Nightscream, because we'll get into this, but Cheetor is kind of the kid character on this show, because they actually gave him some character growth in Beast Wars. They kind of needed a new kid character, and people were not happy.
Yeah.
Okay, so Silverbolt was still in Beast Machines.
Hilariously, I think Nightscream was voiced by Will Friedle, if memory serves me correct.
No, he's... Alejandro Giuliani, if you've seen Battlestar Galactica, he was the that one dude. If you've seen Death Note, he was L.
Zero.
I was hoping he was Will Friedle, because like it would be kind of amusing to imagine like voice of Batman Beyond also voicing a Transformer that turned into a bat. But I guess not to be.
No, well, remember this is recorded in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not going to be Will Friedle. Yeah.
So it's a guy who played Tuxedo Mask, then, is him, probably.
We'll say yes.
Sure. Yeah, let's go with that.
I have
no
idea.
We'll actually look it up.
I know that the dub was also made in Canada. So I don't really remember a ton. I did watch it a lot. Like, as soon as this episode starts and Optimus Prime is his weird blue monkey form and jumps on a surfboard that flies, I was like, I had that toy. That was rad. I'm pretty sure I've seen all of Beast Wars. I don't know if I could tell you pretty much anything, but I at one point I have seen it. I also own it. It's just right over here. I just haven't gotten around to rewatching it. And honestly, I don't think I will, because it looks a little rough.
Yeah.
It didn't super age well.
Yeah, season two is when it starts looking a lot better, but there are definitely a lot of like close-in shots to kind of hide from the fact that like, even now, the backgrounds are still kind of hard.
Yeah, it's a lot of fog going on, too, to hide everything.
Well, normally it doesn't have quite so much of this fog. I think this one was actually kind of intentional to kind of add to the ambiance of the episode. But you aren't wrong about it looking kind of rough.
Yeah, it's, But I mean, look, it was like 1998, like, you know. I'm not expecting a lot. I'm not expecting Toy Story from this TV budget. Beast Wars.
That movie came out like a full year before this show started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also forgot that reboot started in like 1994 until recently, which is crazy to me.
Oh, yikes. That's another show that I have, and I don't know if I can go back. I just want to leave the memories alone.
Yeah,
I never saw that, actually. I need to watch this. I have a Beast Wars podcast, and I've never seen reboot. It's like watching Power Rangers, but never knowing what Fox Kids is.
I mean, there are children now that have never like Fox Kids died years ago. There are people watching Power Rangers that have no idea what Fox Kids is. I don't know if any of them have Power Rangers podcasts, but you know,
it's all on Netflix, so people can watch them. Sadly, this
exactly
unlike our show.
Yeah, you had to. I don't know how you do. You probably have the DVDs. I'm just going to assume, because you know, if there's any cops listening, it's legally inadmissible in court.
we do. I have copies of it in addition to the DVD, which is how Jake watched the episode this week.
I don't know what you're talking about. Dad, you are incriminating yourself. You need to stop while you're
ahead. No, what? I mailed the DVD to you. What? What are you talking about?
Oh yes, yeah. You sent me you flickstered the DVD to me real quick.
All right. So our second question is usually who your favorite Transformer is from of Beast Wars. But if you don't remember a lot of it might be spoiling for our MVB section.
My favorite Beast Wars character is, I think, Silver Bolt, just because I know he's like a wolf but with eagle wings, and like I like that. So I'm pretty sure he's my favorite. I thought I liked Cheetor, but then he makes like a lot of fart jokes in this one, and it's pretty bad. Yeah. So
no,
yeah. So I'm probably Silver Bolt. I also had this one. I don't remember her. There was Air Razor. Yeah. Is that
a character?
Is she like a bird? Yes. I had the toy of her, and I really much liked that toy. And then there was one that was like a Manta Ray.
Death Charge.
Yeah, he was also pretty good. That toy was huge, though, and it took me forever to figure out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I just because you mentioned Silver Bolt, I had to get him. So doing this show, we do character spotlights, which includes looking at some of the toys. So which makes me want to get some of the toys. So
sure.
Yeah. So I got Silver Bolt off of eBay like a couple weeks ago.
Oh, nice. Yeah. I had that exact same one. Yeah. It's rad.
Yeah. Actually, there's this source book that we got, so I could have more information about the series, and I bought it off eBay, and then it turns out, wait, I know this guy. I accidentally bought the Beast Wars source book from my friend who lives in Atlanta.
Huh. Small world.
Yeah, it's getting smaller every day, it seems like.
I guess you double lucked out on this episode, since this also happens to be an episode where Silver World does a lot in it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty good. Very much enjoyed all the Silver Bolt action. I also like Black Arachnia because she's a cool character.
Yeah, no, she also gets a lot of this is really the episode that in my mind is like really kicks the Silver Bolt Black Arachnia romance into like full swing. But that's getting a bit of
the ship name I created for them is Black Bolt.
Okay. All right. It's not bad.
Yeah, normally the last question is like asking what toys you have, but you did go over that.
Yeah, I had a few. It was mostly the ones I remember. I know I had Silver Bolt, Air Razor, Death Charge. I'm sure I had Rat Trap, but I can't confirm or deny that. And I definitely had the Optimus Prime from this episode with surfboard feet.
Do you remember what color Rat Trap was?
I think it was like the red shiny metalish one.
Yeah. So probably Transmetal Rat Trap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure I had that.
Cool. All right. So let's get into the episode itself. So we open up on a jungle, which I haven't actually seen one of these in a while in the show, since we mostly had a lot of like desolate landscapes. But we get to a big old stasis pod surrounded by Energon.
Yeah, there's some cool Sam Raimi shots, like Evil Dead, Scud Cam, like right along the ground. I thought we were being a snake, but then a snake went up ahead of the camera. I was like, okay, I guess we're not the snake. Yeah. I guess we're just Sam Raimi. All right.
I mean that is kind of a safe assumption with this show, though there are no snake transformers in this one. But anyways, Cheetor season move, and like after like not a lot of Cheeto lingo, we get a whole rush of it. I didn't write down his whole line because it's long, but he says like this kitty keen sense of discovery has found a Mondo stasis pod, and like whoa, slow down there, Cheetor.
Yeah, he is totally radical. It sounds like and super fresh.
He's like Robin in like Adam West Batman. He has Cheetorisms, as we call them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a lot. Cheetor was a lot in this episode. I was not expecting it. I thought he was supposed to be Bumblebee, right?
Yeah, like, kind of.
Yeah, is Bumblebee also like this? Because I think I hate Bumblebee.
Something we need to explain to Jake, actually. So these are not the like the Autobot characters. They're supposed to be their descendants.
Okay, so it's not like a one-to-one, like... This is just what Bumblebee would be like if he was a cheetah instead. It's like son of Bumblebee, no, yeah. Sumblebee, well, sure. If you will.
For one thing, like I don't know if we said you said this on mic, but that monkey is primal, not prime.
Yeah, I mean,
okay, yeah. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, Optimus Primal. Okay, yeah. That yeah, absolutely forgot. I thought they were just like, this is the Transformers, but animals instead of cars. Yeah.
That was the original pitch for the show.
Well, and then they just changed it to be like, it's their kids instead. It's Muppet Babies, but Transformers, but they're animals instead of cars. That's true.
Yeah, yeah, so this is supposed to be like 300 years after that, mm-hmm. But they went back in time.
I was going to say, this is the post-apocalyptic future then. Okay, they're back in time. That makes more sense.
The short version is this. The Maximals and the Predacons come from 300 years in the future relative to the Great War between the Autobots and Decepticons. They have transwarp technology now, which lets them go through time and space, and they landed here on what we now know is prehistoric Earth.
Yep.
Okay. Good. I feel like I'm all caught up. We probably will have zero more questions.
Absolutely.
Right.
So anyways, once Cheetah says that it's got a big X on it, Rhinox and Primal give each other a look, and Primal immediately heads out to check on that. And, Rhinox kind of shakes it and just like, Primus helps us if that thing survived. Which, in like a minor footnote, like, first time I'm like a Transformers show actually mentioned Primus, aka Transformers God.
Is that okay? I just assumed you were talking about the Les Claypool's band, and I knew that couldn't be right. So,
yeah, short version, Transformers God, mostly only a comics thing, but the writer of the show would like troll like, or the, Alttoys.Transformers news group. Remember when news groups were a thing?
But just barely.
Yeah. Same here, actually. Like, I knew they existed, but I was too young to go on them.
So, Jake, since I have this toy, here's Primus. He's the literal planet Cybertron that they come from. He turns into a robot. He's into a gigantic space-faring robot.
So, the planet they come from is Cybertron, but that's also Primus?
Yes.
Okay, how sick are his base riffs is what I want to know.
Very sick.
Sweet. All right. That's all I'm looking for.
Alright. So anyways, right after that we cut over to the Predacons, where Megs also has detected the stasis pod, and just figures, well, it's a big pod, you can make it into a big soldier, we should probably go and get that. And then he gets...
Yeah, I have a question about Megatron real quick. Sure. He seems, I know he's a, is this Kid Megatron, first of all, now, I guess now?
Basically.
Okay. Well, he, at some point, they must have stomped off on Power Rangers and got Rita's viewing globe, because he can just see everything that everyone is doing at all the time, always.
That's what my notes say.
Like, he is just straight up cribbing her notes on like how to get info on your enemies, and it's just, oh, you can just watch them no matter what.
This actually isn't normally like that. My only explanation I can think of was he has spy cameras, or like flying spy cameras, like buzz cams, if you guys watch Ninja Steel, which I know Jake, I know you're trying not to.
No, I haven't yet. I watched the first couple episodes and I liked it, but then I, you know, fell behind, and that's the story of my life with television.
Oh,
right,
I thought you were trying not to spoil it for like 7 years from now when you have to watch
it. No, I mean, if I could watch right now, and I would forget basically all of it by then.
Yeah.
Well, he has been in the past previous episodes and like rebuilding out his stuff, so maybe he built like a new spy dish to monitor them.
He had like a little thing, like a little dragonfly looking thing under his armrest.
That's a spy cam. That's a bug that tarantulas would have probably put there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so he's spying on others, but he's also getting spied on.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's who spies the spy?
Yes. Yeah. So he sends out. He gets a little handsy with like Waspinator and Black Arachnia.
He grabs Waspinator's head and just like clutches it to his chest to point him at the camera. Like, I'm like, okay, you're their boss. Like, there are rules. You need to back up a little bit, my man.
Granny's mainly getting close enough because he sticks a bug onto Black Arachnia.
Okay, that makes sense. Still not a good enough reason for sexual harassment in the workplace.
Yeah, no.
So,
definitely.
So this hasn't been mentioned yet, but. So Megatron chose the name not because of G1 Megatron, But because just in Transformers lore, there's a thing called the Covenant of Primus. It's basically the Transformer Bible.
Oh, no, we don't need to go into that.
I'm not going to go too much into it. Basically, there's talk of this like great conqueror by the name Megatron. This Megatron took the name. Later on, we'll find out he's the guy they were talking about.
I don't know if I agree with that canon, but let's not go there.
that sounds like that is a hot contentious part on certain parts of the internet.
Something like that. You will see that again, Jake, when you watch Ninja Storm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway.
Good to know.
Yeah. Anyways, he sends them out and Tarantulas decides, well, I'm also going to find out what's going on in this because I'm also a creep.
I thought he just wanted to get to Black Arachnia while she's outside the base.
Yeah, true. He's trying to get information from Black Arachnia. But again,
so she's supposed to be a Maximal, but like decided against it. Is that what
reprogrammed?
Is the short version picking up? Okay, all right, cool.
So those stasis pods that like the one Cheetor found, basically a bunch of the crew of the Maximal ship were basically sort of blanks. And they're going to be taking beast modes to monitor the local wildlife of wherever they were just basically explorers. And a couple of them, the Predacons, got to the stasis pods when they were waking up before the Maximals did and reprogrammed them into Predacons.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, it's basically like we need a mechanic to introduce new characters, so stasis pods.
Right, yeah. Sure. Makes sense.
Also keeps the numbers equal between teams.
Yeah. Yeah, they mentioned that. Dinobot? Mm-hmm. Dr. Sizzle? I don't know what his name is.
The Velociraptor, yeah, Dinobot. He did choose... I mean, I'm not sure if choice is the right word, but he is Maximal by choice.
Yes.
Yeah, he's definitely drawn like a bad guy. Like he has like a bad guy nose, and he has a bad guy voice, and is also a Velociraptor. So...
Yeah, something I mentioned actually... James, who was it that actually brought this? I think it was Buddy Waluigi. That realized the Predacons are all like snakes and reptiles and bugs. Yep. And the Maximals are actually just mammals, sea life, and birds.
Yeah, the Predacons are all evil animals, I guess.
Yeah, they're all nasty, evil animals. And see, it's someone should be a snake. They're leaving food on the table.
It'd be hard to like, because all of these are based on toys. It'd be hard to like make a toy that's goes from robot to snake.
Well, I mean, there is
kibble there.
Right.
There is one. He's just not in this show.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. As I say, you just fit him all in there. Have all his skin pop up. Mm-hmm. You just have him come out the back.
He's
gonna
be a shell former.
Yeah. It's basically like they're basically cobras, and like the hood is basically the robot.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyways, so we cut back to the crash site, where Optimus and Silverbolt shows up, and Cheetor asks, what's the deal with this? And Optimus realizes, like, says, hey, back on Cybertron, we did some bad stuff.
Yeah, also, he calls Optimus Big Bot, which is, I think, just very cute, a nice term of endearment.
Yeah, no, that's one of the better Cheetorisms, where he just calls Optimus Big Bot. But basically, Optimus explains that they tried to, the Maximals tried to clone Gen 1 original Starscream's Immortal Spark and make a guy. And they succeeded, but the guy was kind of crazy, insane, also super He's powerful.
Kind of the Joker with Bane Venom.
Yeah, he's invincible. He said something like that. He is invincible, which is a pretty bad move.
Yeah.
If you're going to make someone invincible, you should probably make sure you don't also make them very angry.
Yeah, it's kind of like the curse from the Brendan Fraser Mummy. It's just like, this is like, we curse you to eternal damnation. But also, you're immortal, so hopefully no one opens you again.
Yeah. Rookie move, robots.
Yeah, so I want to bring this up. So, I take this as canon that the Protoform X, just that's what we'll call him for now, is technically a Maximal until the end of this episode.
I mean, I think he would disagree in that he's only on his side, given how he does.
Yeah, I don't know if I would put him in either. He might be by the letter of the law a Maximal, but he does not seem to like them very much.
He's a Maximal creation. They said to replicate the spark with a Maximal. Yeah. So at least before the experiment, he was a Maximal.
Yeah. Anyways, but yeah, so basically Primal says, yeah, we were just gonna hopefully drop him off on a rock and hope no one finds him again. But looks like he's dead, so mission accomplished.
Nailed it. Good job, us. This won't come bite us in the butt.
He's kind of cavalier about, like, the immortal, like, well, the immortal prototype seems to be dead. That tracks.
Optimus, you stupid.
Yeah. Not his best moment.
As he's finishing his story, Chulalutor just energon surges, and then turns out, as we've established, like, Transformers can fart, but the transmetals apparently shunt off the excess energon radiation as gas.
Yeah, Cheetor just, like, is a farting up a storm, and I'm like, oh, cool, I hate Cheetor. Okay, yeah. Good to know. Glad we got that out of the way real quick.
Yeah. He's usually not that bad.
Yeah,
well,
normally,
in my limited experience, he is.
Yeah, normally he's just saying stuff like Ultra Gear.
Yeah, since he became a transmetal, and also it might have been last week, he kind of lost two people that he's really close to, Tigatron and Airazor. So he's kind of had to grow up a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Wait, did they die?
They got abducted by aliens. Well,
yep.
What is this show?
Basically, there's some aliens who've been doing experiments on this planet, and they don't like the fact that the Transformers are here. They're ruining their experiments, so they once in a while they'll come down and try to get rid of them.
Yeah, they tried to apocalypse them once. Didn't stick.
Okay. Sure.
All right.
That seems like a very late night writers meeting decision, but. All right.
Yeah, they get very they're more central to the overall plot of the series than we're making it sound.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're not important for this episode, so don't worry about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Okay. Done.
So anyways, speaking of moving on, the Preds happen to show up where Black Arachne is here to claim the protoform. And there's a brief scuffle. Optimus tries to, like, it's already dead, like, there's nothing to fight about, but she doesn't particularly care. And of course, Waspinator gets shot out of the sky and lands on his head, because Waspinator.
Yeah. Waspinator is kid Starscream, right? Like,
no, he's more like, I'd honestly maybe compare him more to, like, kind of like Squatter Babu, where he's, like, kind of like the one henchman who mostly exists to get, like, kicked.
Okay, sure. But, he's the Elgar.
Yeah.
and like Elgar, he is also the fan favorite of the series.
Yeah, I would say he's less annoying than Elgar, but he also tends to get blown up.
Elgar was the worst.
Yeah, no.
Elgar's the best, Jake. Admit it.
No, he is absolutely the worst.
Yeah, I'm going to, like, strike from the record any comparisons of Waspinator to Elgar, because Waspinator is way better than Elgar.
Can't even say his name right.
Doesn't matter. He doesn't deserve it.
Anyway. So, the more important than, like, the actual battle, because, you know, there's a lot of firefights, is Silverbolt and Black Arachne have a moment, including our first, but fortunately not the last, use of Silverbolt's theme, as they face down, and Waspinator and Black Arachne just, like, starts punching and is like, stop being chivalrous and fight back.
Just... Yeah. Is this when Tarantula Boy? I don't know what his name is. Tarantulas.
Yeah, most of their names are kind of easy because it's basically their animal.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Is this when he shows up? Because, like, he just was there, and most of my notes are like, who is this person? What are they doing here? And most of them are this guy up until now.
Yeah. Tarantula shows up and grabs Black Arachne. Basically, they have been on and off partners, and he is a general traitor.
He's the Starscream now, actually.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah, earlier on in the season, Black Arachne has downloaded a bunch of data and that she was supposed to give to him and didn't give it to him, is the short version.
Okay.
So he's been trying to get it back from her. Silverbolt is not having any of that and intervenes and throws Tarantulas into the pod, which... I forget whether it's that or something else, but something causes an explosion like that blows up all the energon around the pod and creates a whirlwind, blowing everyone away from it.
It's either Silverbolt throwing Bug Boy into the pod, or somebody shooting just a pile of Lego crystals, which I assume are the energon.
Yeah, energon is it's basically like, I mean, it's energon. It, like, it's energy crystals. They explode when they shoot, like you do.
Yeah, sure, yeah. Obviously.
I did forget we did get a good Silverbolt line, like, though threatening your own comrade is no doubt business as usual in the Predacon Guide to Villainy, simply unacceptable behavior in my book.
I like this guy.
Cue trumpet fanfare.
One guy voices, like, four people in this show.
Okay.
Silverbolt, Waspinator, Dinobot, and, wait, who's the fourth?
Waspinator, Waspinator, Silverbolt, Rattrap. Rattrap. Yeah.
Rattrap.
Yeah, Scott McNeil, who you also may know as, a million other voices, including... Which X-Men show is he Wolverine in?
Wolverine and the X-Men, okay. I think.
I think that's right.
Okay.
No. Sorry. That was Steve Bloom. He's X-Men Evolution.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Is that the guy that played Bone Steel on Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles: The Next Mutation?
I think so.
Okay.
In a weird, like, actual, you know, like, non-voice acting role.
Yeah. He was the best part about the episode I watched when I was on Sky and Jake's podcast.
Yeah. Actually, yeah. So there's this character who actually did die named, Pterosaur, who was very much like the kid Starscream.
Oh, that's right. Didn't he also show up on Next Mutation?
He was Shredder.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no. Every time I mention that, like, James just goes into depression mode.
That show kind of did Shredder dirty, among other things.
Oh, yeah. It killed him in the first, like, episode so he could bring in some bad dragon puppets. We don't need to talk about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles and Expectation. I'm sorry I brought it up.
So, yeah, so
anyways, tornado happens, comeback from commercial break, and we land on Silverbolt and Black Arachnia, who land near each other and then immediately go into, like, standoff mode.
Okay, so I wrote one quote down from this entire episode, and it is right here, and it is the dumbest thing I may have ever heard. Silverbolt's like, "Are you damaged?" And Black Arachne's like, "Just enough to make me interesting." what's the swearing policy on your guys' show?
No F-bombs in your good.
Okay, let me do this. I would just remove any swears. What does this mean?
I honestly don't know. It's a line I remember watching it before as a kid, and now watching now, I'm just like, what is that supposed to mean?
Like, they call it back later, and it's like, just because you called it back doesn't make it make sense.
Okay. I
assume it's supposed to be sexy by, like, broadcast standards and practices.
Yeah, it is Fox Kids sexy, I guess.
Wait, you guys didn't... We didn't get this line?
What? Yeah. No, we just quoted the line. Like, just enough to make me interested.
No. I mean, like... you guys are asking, like, why are they put it in?
Well...
No, I just don't understand what it's supposed to... Like, what is he... Like, what are you trying to say? Like, oh, now I'm battle damaged, so I'm a cooler toy? Yeah. Like...
No.
At least this was years before Suicide Squad happened, and with, like, where that could have totally different and unfun connotations.
So Silverbolt was asking her if she's okay. She took it. She's like, yeah, no, I'm kind of messed up. I'm trouble. You got to stay away from me.
I don't think that's it.
I mean, I get what they're trying to do, but it's a weird way of saying
they just did not do it. Yeah.
All right. I mean, I understood what they were trying to say. Okay. Just to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, just you. I'm out in the cold on this one, I guess, because I thought this was a bad line that did not make any sense to me.
I'm on your side with this one. It's a weird
I'm in
line.
The cold.
Anyway, that's just the only line I wrote down from the episode.
That is fair. I knew once you said, like, I wrote down one line, like, oh, I know which one it is.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they agree to work together for now with some mild flirting. She asks if Silverbolt can just, you know, fly them up, but unfortunately his wing is broken. Which...
Yeah.
So they're gonna, just gonna...
Something I like about this... Sorry. Something I like about this episode is every time Silverbolt is trying to be chivalrous, like, if he's, like, sort of just demeaning Black Arachne as a woman by being chivalrous, like, the episode just punishes him for it.
And Black Arachne doesn't put up with it.
I like Black Arachne a lot because she's like, hey, cut it out.
I was kind of worried going back to this that Silverbolt's chivalry would come off kind of dated, particularly when you say chivalry now, you think of guys in fedoras. But the fact like Black Arachne is willing to put him in his place is a nice counterbalance.
I will later in the episode, I will mention the words White Knight.
Well, yeah, but this is like the earlier one before it. But yes. Anyways. Yeah. So anyways, they start heading off, and then we cut to Tarantulas, who crashed from the trees, and he manages to land near the pod. So he decides to check it out and find it's empty, and in true horror movie fashion, a shadow goes over him.
Yeah, this is pretty rad. This is like a nice, like, oh, Jason is right behind you moment.
Yeah, in which he turns around and immediately screams, and we... as we transition away from the scene, you still hear his screen fading away.
Mm. Which is actually when they pan down to Optimus and Cheetor, who were trying to contact Silverbolt, but they're too damaged to actually help him, so they decided to head back to base and rest and get repaired, then try to find him.
Yeah, do they have just like a I forget what they call it, the CR?
Yeah, CR pod, chamber. It's basically CR chamber. You're, like, back to tank slash magical healing chamber for them.
Okay, yeah, they just, like, pop in that when they need to, like, get a fix. They don't have, like, a mechanic on board.
Yeah, like...
And so I actually talked about this in one of our episodes, thanks to the source book. Basically, back in the Autobot days, they had medics, but as the war went on, there were less and less of them, so they created the CR chamber as sort of... This can heal most wounds, but it can't, like, if you lost a limb, you kind of just need to reattach it the old-fashioned way.
From a technical standpoint, I imagine it's probably easier to, like, have them go in a tube and come out than, like, let's try and do detailed circuitry in CG.
Yeah, from a just making the show perspective, number one, I feel like that would be kind of boring, and number two, like, you don't want to animate all that, just have them dip into into a bath and come out.
Silver Black Bolt is walking through, walking past, and Black Arachne mentions, I consider myself a creature of darkness, but this place is making my skin crawl.
Yeah, to which they find Tarantulas, or at least his arm.
One of his arms. Also, there's like 100 snakes, like, swarming around them, just like hanging out.
Yeah.
There's like so many snakes here.
I think like whoever was in charge of like setting up like the props in the background kind of went a bit overboard with them.
They just said snakes. I didn't have a number. They're like, all right, I'm putting snakes in. You want snakes, you're getting snakes.
This is also where we see Megatron and Inferno are still listening in. And there will be more and more people like coming in to watch the soap opera later on.
Yeah, right. Like, and they're like they are one bucket of popcorn away from being like a straight-up sitcom. Like, oh, what are they going to do next? What are they talking about?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, actually, we should explain this. So, like we mentioned earlier, Black Arachne like downloaded some data. It's data that Megatron also wants, so that's why he put a bug on her, that thinking that she might say something to confirm it while not around him.
Okay.
I mean, it also works out conveniently for him in this episode.
Yeah, he gets to just spy on this date. He gets to creep up on this date that they're having. this nice walk through a snake jungle.
What was it? Oh, and the guy next to him is Inferno. He's a giant fire ant who, like, his pod programming was a little messed up. So instead of my headcanon is this, that instead of putting Predacon or Maximal programming into him because it didn't have anything to use, it just started filling in the blanks with fire ant instincts.
Okay.
He refers to Megatron as my queen and sometimes the royalty. Mm-hmm. He thinks he's a fire ant.
Okay. I like that.
Yeah. No,
that's pretty cool.
He's got a good gimmick.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways.
Nice.
So anyways, we follow on. They get to, like, a log bridge where they have to, where Silverbolt goes first just to make sure it's safe. And one little animation bit I liked is, while he's trying to bounce some stuff, he occasionally, like, sticks out his wings, which I think is like a nice touch of what someone would, presumably someone who had wings would actually try to keep their balance.
Yeah.
I believe like actual birds when they're trying to like walk across something, they actually do this. Yeah.
But it's just, it'd be just easy from like animation standpoint, just like he's not flying, his wings don't have to do anything.
Yeah, we don't have to do it, but they took the time. That's very nice of them.
Mm. But as he's going across, Black Arachnia draws his gun. She is kind of sadly like, he kind of has a sad expression, she's like, well, I kind of expected this, but I kind of hoped it didn't go that way.
She also kind of had like a little bit of a sad expression where she's like, I do have to shoot you, I guess. Your back's turned. It's too easy.
Yeah. But then he suddenly says, behind you, which she's just like, yeah, right.
Yeah, good try.
But then she gets drummed by an actual saber-toothed tiger, which I kind of forgot was in this, since, well, the show is like, technically always been in prehistoric Earth, it doesn't really always do too much to establish that, since, you know, the dinosaur there aren't actual dinosaurs running around. So it was a little weird, like, oh, that's like an actual saber-toothed tiger.
Yeah.
Which is weird that they did this, because most of the animals we've seen, like, it's kind of a model they already had. Like, one time they showed, like, a quote-unquote real tiger, and they just literally just color-swapped Tigertron to Beast
Don't
mode.
Worry about it.
I feel like this is just the panther guy that I was talking about. Just like, this, they just made him early, and this, oh, they made this, and they're like, well, we made it, we have to use it.
Well, the thing is, with that panther guy, he actually doesn't turn into a panther. Well, his robot mode has a panther head.
Yeah, they were going to, but then they're like, we already blew it on the Black Arachnia jump, so we might as well not even show.
Yeah, they definitely like reusing some models and props.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta save that money somewhere.
Yeah, so Silverbill actually transforms and fights it, so, and Waspinator gives nicknames to some characters sometimes. He refers to Silverbill as Doggy Bot. So I just, I'm like, Doggy Bob versus Cat Fight!
Yeah. Eventually they kind of go over the edge, and Sorbolt manages to grab a vine, to which, once again, he's, like, facing down Black Arachnia's gun. He's, like, kind of sighing. She's like, well, I guess this is how it's gonna be. Before the vine snaps, and Black Arachnia actually saves him using her grappling gun. / missile thing.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Quickstrike is now listening into in the dark side. Oh, actually, oh god, I wish there was more Quickstrike in this episode. Jake, you would have loved him.
Yeah, he's basically
who?
The green and yellow guy. His name is Quickstrike. He transforms into like a fusion of like a cobra and a scorpion, and he's basically Texas.
Oh, nice. He's like his, the cobra's like his stinger, right? Like he's a chimera kind of.
Yeah. Yeah, like he's full on like Yosemite Sam Texas guy.
Nice.
he will exclaim what in tarnation like once in a while.
Great. I forget what exactly Silverbolt and Blackbird say, but they say like something like relatively sappy, and Megatron's just like, ugh, why are we?
He says yuck. He's like, yuck. Like you're the bad guy. You can't be yucking things. You're an adult. Come on, Megatron. Yeah. One of your transformations is a gun. You can't be. Gross. They're gonna kiss, maybe.
Yeah, he's about like 2 seconds from like calling like ugh cooties.
Yeah, exactly.
Different Megatron.
No, I'm pretty sure it's all the same Megatron.
Not important.
Pretty confident that I would know.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah. So then we take a brief segment back to the Axalon as Primal and Cheetah are getting ready to head out. We get our one token Dinobot appearances who says, like, well, they're down two. We should, like, go on ahead and attack them. To which Primal just was like, I'll remember that next time you're lost in an Energon storm.
Yeah, he sunned him hard.
Yeah, yeah, like, something we earlier on, like,
go ahead.
A couple episodes ago, like, Dinobot technically defected back to the Preds temporarily, and everyone's been kind of shading him hard in these last few episodes.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, because that is a lot of shade he gets the rest of then.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that this shade kind of plays into what happens next episode.
Yeah.
I told James not to tell me.
Yeah, and then Dinobot, like, plugs into his computer, and it's not really established what he does, but he's But apparently this is from an idea of that he's, like, backing up his personality into the computer. It doesn't exactly pay off, but just, like, it's seeding some seeds.
Okay.
Yeah, unfortunately, ones we never actually get to see the end of.
Not important for this episode, but it is kind of, like, building on, like, the Dinobot subplot. Anyways, not important for now as we cut back to Black Bolt. And Silverbolt's just like, but hey, you used to, is like basically trying to convince Black Mirror, is like, maybe you're secretly good?
Yeah. He's like, but you were a Maximal. Right. And she's like, yeah, but I'm not. And she's like, but yeah, but maybe you could be though still. And she's like, stop it. And then they find a bunch of limbs, and that kind of puts a kibosh on all this like flirty talk.
There is a moment before that where she just turns around and like does her like machine gun attack to him, and he's just like,
yeah.
He's like, okay, I'll shut up now. Which that got a laugh at me. And that's when they like find all like tarantula's limbs and just like, oh no.
Wait, so tarantula's is now basically a rogue agent. Yeah. But we see him after this episode. Who the hell put him back together?
Maybe?
It's just like, he put himself back together. All of his arms and legs. No, it says he's in stasis. Yeah. Somebody made, I don't know, maybe a snake. Yeah. There's a lot of snakes. I bet a snake came and flipped the on switch back maybe. On.
Yeah, stasis lock is like, oh no, I'm like too damaged. I'm gonna like freeze up and like...
coma.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, so has been established. He has these like tiny little.
He has his like little spider drones. Spider drones. They probably put him back together.
Yeah. They probably did it.
But yeah, so Black Arachnia is kind of concerned about what the heck they got themselves into, and Silverbolt kind of fills her in. To which Megatron like perks up. Like again, another nice little subtle bit of animation where he's like sitting there steepling his fingers, and like there's a sort of subtle eye raises. Not a lot of like big animation, but just like he's just like, I think I could do something about this.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he makes an Energon knife.
Yeah.
Which we don't find out why until the end of the episode.
I thought it was weird that he's like, hey, make me a knife. Make it out of Energon. It's like, okay, so you just have that? Is it not like a limited resource? Is it just like
they
just have as much as they need?
The planet's full of Energon.
Okay. Good enough explanation for me.
Yeah, no, that's why, when they first landed here, Megatron made it seem like that's why he came. He wanted Energon to fuel a war effort, or to start a war.
Yeah, it was basically like the season one plot, like, oh, let's all gather Energon for like, you know, kind of like plot of the week type things.
Okay.
Anyways, just as they're getting to leave, they discover Protoform X, who just like is super huge. Like, I really like his design, where he's like he's way taller than any of them, and wider than they are tall. He has like his crab legs kind of like creeping up over him, and he has like this weird face where instead of like having a traditional mouth, he has like an opening, and then like there are two plates that kind of just like go back and forth, kind of like. It's a good design. We'll include that in the visual guide, since like obviously kind of hard to explain in audio form.
Yeah, he's kind of Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah,
I wrote down Buffalo Bill, but I think Hannibal Lecter's maybe a little more appropriate. But also, this big bad dude is just a crab.
Yeah.
Which actually, while we were recording, I didn't realize while I was watching, where the hell did he get that beast mode?
Don't worry about it.
There's just a crab walking around. I don't know why he picked a crab. He could have been a snake.
It's true.
Those are way meaner than crabs.
Except for the original, like, 10 Transformers, none of them got to actually pick their beast form. The pod kind of just finds whatever life is nearby.
I mean, okay. They make the most of it. Yeah, he also has, like, when he... So he, like Silverbolt tries to eat him, he just smashes him out of the way. Like, Black Arachnia does, like... her machine gun like a task, and he just like walks forward and doesn't care.
Yeah.
Well, no, something you got to mention, because this Silverbolt is White Knighting. Like he's Protoform X is like rearing up on them, and he just looks over at Black Arachnia and tries to get in front of her between her and Protoform X, and he just smacks him out of the way.
Yeah, he just like bats him out of the way. Also, by the way, Protoform X is my favorite Mega Man X companion.
Yes.
He's absolutely my favorite. I love how he's got that hair. I guess he has eight legs now, so that's pretty cool for Mega Man. He's got his half-brother has got a bunch of legs now.
Yeah, so he...
Took me a second to realize what you were making
fun
of.
And I would say, while he is, crab mode is probably not the most, you know, intimidating animal they can choose, they do kind of make the most of it, since, like, instead of having, like, a crab mouth when he transforms, it's just full of teeth.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of teeth.
It's pretty unsettling. Where he, like, grabs a silver claw and, like, gives, like, his first line, which I feel like is kind of, like, a really good defining line, is like, is that fear you're feeling, Maximal? Yes. My spark. It feeds on terror. Let it grow. Let it consume your circuitry. Feel it. Yes, feel it. Feel the fear. And just... Sorvald does a cry as he's just, like, crushing him. But...
Yeah.
Yeah, which is, you know, pretty creepy for, like, supposed to be, like, a kid's cartoon.
Yeah, they made him, like... I thought it was just gonna be, like, a kind of a brainless, like, I am angry, and I will shoot at you and hit you with my big hands. But then they're like, oh, no, also he wants to, I guess, eat your blood?
Yeah, he, like, is straight implied to be a cannibal in, like, later episodes.
Yeah. It's kind of gnarly.
Have we had just, like, a Berserker Transformer yet, James? Like, we've had something like
not
that.
Not really in this show. And, I mean, maybe if I think about Gen 1. But, like, definitely not, like, a combination of, like, power, but also, like, kind of, like, intelligence. Like, he could easily be, like, you know, a snarling beast, but, like, no, he's enjoying this.
Yeah.
Oh, I just realized, also, his size might be because of the experiment. So, I think we've mentioned this before. The Maximals are, like, smaller and more energon efficient. They're, like, roughly human-sized.
Ish.
Whereas, because they were trying to replicate a Decepticon... Mm. Maybe that's why he's bigger.
Yeah, I think even, like, the guidebook mentions that, like, they use some Gen 1 tech, which could explain why he's, like, huge compared to the rest of them. But anyways, the cavalry shows up, and, using, like, basically combined amount of, like, four Transformers, they manage to, like, blast him until he, like, falls off the edge of the cliff. But, like, any good movie monster, that's not enough to put him down.
Oh, no. Yeah, he's hurt, but oops, he's also a tank, so, like, he's good. He's doing all right.
Yeah, starts climbing up the wall vertically, firing.
Yeah, which I really like, because for a second I was like, are those bolts, like, are they going to, like, curve and hit them, or can they just back up and be fine? And they just go right by him, because they're like, oh, hey, don't do that. But then, like, he's just, like, scaling a wall with tank treads, and then a Silverbolt shows back up to, like, finish him off in a way that I thought was not going to do anything, but it actually did, I guess. Yeah. Didn't do the job all the way, but...
Yeah, he said, Rand's like, your persistence is futile. I rise again. And then Silver Spawn's like, okay, so let's just give you further to fall. And he throws one of his, like, feather missiles, and it gets knocked in jammed in the treads, which causes him to, like, lose his grip and, like, fall back all the way down the cliff.
Yeah, both of his treads pop off, and then he falls down the cliff and bumps off where he just landed and falls down another cliff that was just hiding behind it, I guess.
It's like a, I think, like, Dead or Alive would have those stages where if you knock a person off the side, they, like, fall down, like, a mountain, like, three panes of glass.
Yeah, you can do that with Soul Calibur, too. You can knock them out windows and then jump after them.
And I know I'm the only one on this podcast that's going to get this reference, but persistence is futile. Is like the board or somewhat reminiscent of the board catchphrase "resistance is futile." I don't know if it was intentional, but I'm gonna say it was.
Is that Star Trek?
Yes,
the Borg Star Trek.
Yes,
maybe.
I know you really mentioned that you did not pay to see George Takei.
Yeah. No, I mean he's fine. He's like I liked him in Heroes, but but yeah, it's, you know. It's Star Trek's kind of boring to me. That's all right. I also think Star Wars is boring. It's like I'm not on either side of that fight.
Anyways,
we're not those kind of nerds that say you have to pick one. We're like, what do you like? Cool. I like this.
Anyways, back to this show. As Rampage falls, he gets one last shot off that blasts Black Arachnia off down a different cliff, and Superbolt goes and dives after her and just like. Kind of struggles and is like, come on, work wing, and it does. And he, like, manages to catch her and dramatically, like, fly up.
Yeah, I have a question about this terrain that they are fighting on. So on one side, there's a there's a cliff and a big gorge, and on the other side there's a big gorge. Are they fighting on an upside down ravine? Like, is this like an inverted ravine where instead of there being a big dip, there's just a big up?
I mean,
part?
Maybe we've seen stranger terrain in this world. We've seen like floating islands, so sure, we'll say that's what it is.
Yeah, all right.
Yeah, islands multiple.
Yeah. Sure, Energon, right? Was it floating as Energon?
One of them. One of them was Energon, the other one was an alien experiment.
And I believe that's where we get the callback, where once they land, Black Ryan asks if Silverworld's damaged, and he says, like, enough to make me interesting.
it's not cool just because you said it again.
Oh, actually, so him, like, diving after her is actually kind of a stupid move, because there's two other flyers right there who are looking.
Yeah, but, like, They don't have any personal investment of like making sure Blackburn doesn't.
Yeah, they don't care about her, and that's his future girlfriend that he's gonna save. So,
and
they didn't just have a nice walk through a snake jungle. They don't care.
Well, I'm not saying like he shouldn't have done it. Like for the character arc of both of them, I feel like it's something they should have done. But at the same time, he just did it on instinct. Yeah. He wasn't thinking.
Yeah, he didn't have time. Also, he didn't have time to be like, hey, can you go do that? And then they'd be like, why? And like, well, now she's dead, so cool. Yeah. Cool job, Maximals.
I do like after she like leaves, just like, don't expect me gushing gratitude and leaves. And she's just like I needed him to catch me anyway.
Yeah, is she being real or facetious? Because like, she does have a grappling hook, but she didn't seem like she had it handy.
I'm going to say like,
she swings away like Spider-Man.
Like she
okay, because I think she let him. I think she's like, all right, he better hurry up, or else I'm just gonna use my grappling hook.
Yeah, I'd like to believe that too. That seems like a thing. Like, you know what? I could save myself, but I know he's gonna be like flying over seconds. Like, I'm just gonna let this. I'm gonna take this one.
Yeah.
So she actually runs off, and an Optimus just tells the Silverbolt to let her go, and the poor guy looks like a kicked puppy. It's sad.
Yeah.
And honestly, just I'm sure Optimus didn't know this when he was saying it, but it kind of has like a double or triple meaning to Silverbolt.
It's true.
Yeah, he like he in love. He in love now.
Yeah.
He got some feelings.
Like Janine, like I was watching this episode and making my notes, I tweeted at her. I'm like, hey, you're gonna love this episode. It's got a lot of Black Bolt in it.
It's true.
And because I know that she's all about that Black Bolt. In fact, the episode she's gonna be guesting on, like she specifically chose because it's a major turning point for them.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So anyways, we're kind of getting to the end of this episode. The Max will say, like, Cheetor asks, like, what do we do about Crab Legs? And Optimus says, like, we'll come back for him. Like, let's get... Which...
He's dead, remember? This immortal boy is dead now. Don't worry about it.
Optimus, especially, like, given, like, I think we find out later he was, like, involved and in charge of the project. It seems pretty okay, which is like, yeah, I'm sure he's dead. This immortal guy.
I mean, in the flashback, he was the one there when, like, they were restraining him, being like, ugh, this went wrong, uh-oh. like, you know it's bad, just pick up some parts and take them home. You can fly.
Yeah. So anyways, they leave him behind, but where he has a guest, where Megatron, and, like, actually could be, like, a creepier move than Rampage himself, like, you get a shot of him, like, from Rampage eyes as Megatron has the scalpel over him, and then it cuts to black. And we're back in, like, the Predacon ship, as Rampage is coming out of CR Chamber, healed. And Meg is like, ah, it's like, I see you're among us. And, of course, Rampage immediately pulls out his gun, because not really a joiner.
Doesn't seem like it.
Which Megatron pulls out his insurance policy, where he has, basically, he has cut out a part of his spark, which, since he's immortal, didn't actually kill him, but put it in, like, a little cage that has Energon crystal, so he can squeeze it, so, you know... He can't die, but he can make him suffer.
Did he cut out a part of it? It looked like he just carved out his heart.
I thought it was the whole thing, yeah.
I think later on the show, if you're like, oh, I took out part of your spark, but it does definitely look like the whole thing. I will admit.
Like, that's nasty, because when he cuts into him, you, like, get the, like, incision opening and, like, a zoom in onto his spark, and it's nasty.
Yeah. So then this is where Megatron, like, gives him an official name and calls him Rampage and welcomes him to the Beast Wars.
Yep. Title drop.
So one thing we kind of glossed over, when the Maximals leave, that's when Black Arachne just swings away like Spider-Man. And she's showing that in, even in an episode that's basically a monster movie, she's still no damsel in distress.
Also, you put a note to remember to mention Pinewood Studios. Why mention what's up with Pinewood Studios?
That's mainly for Jake. It's Pinewood Sound. As I'm watching the credits, I just I'm finishing up my notes and the credits are rolling. This is recorded at Pinewood Sound. Jake, you know what Pinewood is, right?
Yeah, Pinewood Studios is where they film all the James Bond movies.
Oh,
yeah. So, so this is it's probably the same company, but yeah. Recorded in Vancouver.
Yeah, I don't know, because Pinewood Studios is over in England, but yeah, that's where they film all the, like, that's like where the sets for Bond are, not when they're like on location, obviously, but like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so just, we're just a nice coincidence.
Yeah.
All right, and that's the episode. So, I guess, and of course, doing a character spotlight, and this one, of course, highlighting Rampage, who was voiced by Campbell Lane, who, veteran voice actor, voiced...
I'll go over it. So he voiced Baloo in the 1973 Adventures of Mowgli, Skeletor in New Adventures of He-Man, Baron Von Strucker in the Nick Fury Agent of the Shield. That's the one with David Hasselhoff.
In the movie?
Yeah. So if you guys remember, if anyone remembers the 2000s Action Man, he's the villain, Dr. X.
I did not know that, but that's another mainframe joint, so that kind of makes sense.
Yeah, I loved Action Man. Me and my best friend, we argue over exactly one thing, and that's whether or not Max Steel or Action Man was better, and it's obviously Action Man.
Action Man, yeah. It's
totally Action Man.
Well, the new one might give it a run for its money, but the 2000s one, yeah, no.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he also did, the only reason I put this other credit in for one reason, he was additional voices in Sherlock Holmes in the 22nd Century.
A show that I always see, like, that wasn't a real show, right?
Oh, it was super real. Watson was a robot. They did all the, like, they did all the Sherlock ones, but they were in all the stories, but they were the future versions.
Yeah.
Hound of Baskerville was robot ghosts, I think. I don't know. I don't remember that far.
I remember the theme song, and I will never forget it.
One sad note, I did not know. He passed away in 2014 of lung cancer. Admittedly, at the ripe old age of 78 with 8 kids, 4 grandkids, and 1 great kid. So he had a full life.
Yeah, he was doing all right.
Yeah.
All right, so just some quick toy notes. His toy is... He is one of the bigger toys. Tuned in. Actually, I remember, like, kind of being a bit awkward, because being in a crab means he has these giant pincers that make it kind of hard for him to do anything, because they, like, hang off the back and stuff. But he does look pretty close to what he looks like in the show, which you don't always get with the toys. That's a neat thing.
That's very big. That's a big boy.
He'd be Ultra Class, which is, I think, was the largest... He was the second largest toy class they had at the time.
Is that what Depth Charge was?
Yeah, actually.
That was also a big kid.
Yeah, so Depth Charge is basically, if Rampage is the Joker, Depth Charge is his Batman.
He doesn't show up until season 3, but, like, he's just to kind of, like, give some context, he was basically from the security guy on the colony where they were making Rampage, and he's also the only survivor, and he was the one who, like, ultimately brought him in.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
So he hates his guts, and they get a lot of good fights in the next season. So,
actually, one bit of trivia that we actually forgot to mention for the episode: there was an extra line taken out of the script that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
He would have had Rampage threatening to eat Megatron's living brain on a plate with fava beans.
Yeah.
Just straight up Lecter then.
I think they've said, like, maybe that's a bit much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And, of course, he does have a tech spec, which, admittedly, like, is mostly accurate to the show. The result of an experiment gone awry. Rampage is an evil titan devoid of mercy. Calculating and fearsome, he is a legend among Cybertrons, and it is rumored that the spark cannot be extinguished. In King Crab mode, Rampage uses Hulking Claws to generate colossal tidal waves, induce earthquakes, and trigger landslides. So, very Pokemon-esque of, like, his ability.
Yeah.
Though his bulk hinders his overall dexterity, Rampage makes a good use of his impenetrable armor and multi-weapons in crab, tank, and robot modes. Galva conductors on his back channel deadly electric currents that he disperses at will. Rampage customarily activates his Gatling cannon to figure out his enemies in deluge of cluster missiles. All of Cybertron's featured his unmatched aggressions. That's like a friggin'... You probably could have, like, trimmed that down a bit, like, tech spec Raider.
Yeah, he's got a lot of stuff going on. It's like that thing, you know, right before you go out, look at yourself in the mirror and take one thing off. Like, before you send this boy out into the toy wilds, maybe get rid of his electric bat?
Yeah.
I don't know if he needs
that. Yeah, I'm not sure, like, what the heck are some... Or Galva conductors. Like, that seems a bit much.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems like someone just was, like, given a little too much freedom on, on that.
His quote from the source book, evil is a symphony created by instruments of pain and suffering.
Yeah, that's a pretty good line.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, his weakness. Yeah. Energon crystals can be used to damage Rampage's spark.
Well, yeah, but, like, it's when it's outside of his body, to be fair.
Yeah.
I did get one other toy, which I was, like, convention exclusive, but I think it's supposed to be, like, him pre-Crab, since it, like, it's titled Protoform X. And even has, and they even, like, took off, like, normally you would have, like, a faction and symbol, but, like, they just stuck, like, an X, because, like, he's not really Maximal or Predacon. He kind of does his own thing. Like, he tries to get away with, like, he, very much, like, would, like, he probably actually would eat Megatron's brain if he didn't have, like, literally have part of his soul in a box that he can use to torture him at will.
Right, yeah. He's gotta wait till he sleeps. Do they sleep? Can they sleep?
Sometimes it's one of those things, like, sometimes they do, sometimes they have dreams, sometimes they don't.
Yeah. Okay.
They're robots.
Well,
so.
you gotta wait for your opportunity then. Get your heart back and put it back in your chest.
Actually, well, so showing he's not a complete idiot, that actually does happen. He tries that. Yeah, I remember.
Okay, good.
I think the timelines might have been actually from Beast Wars Uprising, because there's a comic book that takes place in that where. Yeah. He and Transmutate are friends, or sort of.
Yeah. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
I have not read that, so I can't say.
Yeah.
So let's see. So, just checking, like, so messages from the Golden Disc. Let's see. We did get a response from Bloody Waluigi, thanking us for the shout-out, and looks like they are hyped for Code of Hero, which will be the next episode.
No, we got one between that, I think.
Oh, we did?
Oh, wait, no, sorry.
No, the other one I saw was, like, Christina, like, thanking for a compliment, so, like, not a big deal. Anyways, so, yeah, that's all we got. So, let's see. So, now we're on for our most valuable MVBs, most valuable beasts. And so, Jake, since you are the guest, who was your MVB for this episode?
I want to give it to Silverbolt, because he did... throw the thing that knocked him down the cliff and then the other cliff. But I like Black Arachnia more, so I'm just going to give it to her.
Dowd, who is your MVB?
This time I give it to Black Arachnia, because anyone who's listened to this show for more than, like, say, 3 episodes knows that I love it when she actually has some agency, because there was a period where she really did not.
Yeah, like, she was very much, in her first year, was very much, as I described, like, remember, did you ever see, like, the episode of Futurama with, like, the Lucy Liu bot?
No.
Okay. But, like, the joke is, like, they send, like, a bunch of clones, and they said there's a setting that's, like, erotic assassin on, like, the Lucy Liu bots. She's like, yeah, that was basically your character early on.
That's all they did with her? Okay.
Well, I was talking about, like, when Tarantulas had a, like... a psychic stranglehold on her.
Yeah. Yeah, Tarantulas is a creep.
Yeah, no.
Anyways, for my...
Go ahead.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, for my MVB, I'm going to go with Rampage. He looks really cool here. It's like a really good debut episode. This is one of the episodes that always stuck with me ever since I first watched it.
Oh, and, I think that shot of him, like, transforming in lightning will actually be his opening credits shot from now on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
All right. So, yeah. So that's all the MVBs. So, for next episode, Dinobot makes the ultimate sacrifice to save those who are still to come. Code of the Hero, featuring Sky
Pop
Culture Failure. I'm sorry. All right. So, Jake, thanks for coming on. If you want to take a moment to, I know I said all your podcasts at the top, but if you want to give yourself an additional plug here, now's the time.
Sure. Well, first of all, thank you guys for having me. You can find me on Twitter at JJ_Mason. I've got like 100 podcasts. I legitimately don't remember how many. Like, I don't know the number.
McElroy of podcasts.
I have one metric McElroy of podcasts. So I got The Morphin Grid, which is an episode-by-episode recap of Power Rangers. I got Pokemon World Tour, which is a town-by-town recap of the Pokemon world. I've got Pokemon World Tour United, which is an actual play RPG set in the Pokemon world. I've got Cool Kids Stable, which is a rotating game system actual play RPG series. We got Sequinox is our, not our most recent now, but like kind of our biggest. And that was, I think, if you like Magical Girls, you should probably check that out. It's my favorite one we've done. There's Spectre, where I talk about Bond movies with Matt J from the Super Sentai Brothers. There is Kingdom Smarts, where Shannon Maynard has 30 minutes to explain as much about Kingdom Hearts to me as she can, and it's just a wacky ride. That is a complicated mess, and God bless her for trying to explain
I've
it all to me.
Binging a lot of that because there's been a lot of office talk that I do not care to get involved in. Just like, this is a good escape right now.
It's a nice little 40 minute podcast where you just get to basically hear me be exasperated for a lot of it. And I think that's it. I added Sailor Business, which is an episode recap of Sailor Moon, and I'm pretty confident that that's all. Oh no, Hard Reboot! I forgot Hard Reboot. Where we this is the problem. You do too many, you forget some of your children.
Well, that one you don't edit, so that's the easier one, I imagine.
Yeah, same with Spectre. So like sometimes I forget about those ones. They're not on like my calendar as many times. Hard Reboot is a podcast where Matt Hoadley, Alan Sells, and I pitch each other reboots of public domain properties. It comes out the first Friday of every month, and it's a real fun one.
Yeah. So just because you started doing the weekly roundups, I pulled it up. So this week, or actually last week, as of when this episode goes out, Jake released suit rankings for on Morphin Grid, fixing cars with girls on Sailor Business, finished Chain of Memories on Kingdom Smarties or Kingdom Smarts, and went to Moo Moo Farm on Pokemon World Tour.
That's a light week. Normally it's there's one or two more.
I could not keep up with the pace of your life, so I salute you.
I recently caught up on all management. My podcasts. I'm actually caught up on your pace. Actually, reminds me, yesterday Lightspeed Rescue came in, so I'll be ready for that in like a couple weeks.
Oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that.
There will be good parts and bad parts.
I'm sure. Mostly the thing that I'm not looking forward to is that it's just a holding pattern before I get to watch Time Force again, which is all I'm really looking for.
There is a point where Carter Grayson becomes a badass because he shoots a demon in the face point blank. Yeah,
that's always nice. Good.
Nice. Yeah. Looking forward to it.
All right, and if people choose to find you on social media.
JJ_Mason on Twitter. It's the only thing I really do. I have others, but I don't really.
Yeah, most of those podcasts have handles, but that would take. You can probably Google find them.
It would take the length of the podcast. It's they're all in my in my bio. If you just go to my.
Running out of the characters yet, there, Jake?
No, I had to get rid of some jokes though. So.
Thank you so much for coming on, and I hope this wasn't too confusing for you.
No, it was fun. I had a ton of fun. I'm used to being confused because of Kingdom Smart, so I've gotten into the groove of just like living in that. So I thought this was a good time.
So, anyways, I guess start wrapping this up. So, in closing, thank you for listening to the Acton Archives. If you have any questions, want to guest on the show, or just want to talk to us about Beast Wars, you can reach out to us on Twitter at Acton Archives, or by email at AcelonArchives@gmail.com. You can find the show on Apple Podcasts, Google Play Podcasts, Podknife, Podbeam, and Stitcher. Are we still like pending on Spotify, or did that happen yet?
They haven't gotten back to us, and I don't have a Spotify to check. I did put the call out to see if anyone could check for us.
I'll check that offline.
Okay.
And anyways, and of course, rate or review, because that helps people find the show. And check out our website at axelon.buzzsprout.com. If you want to follow either of us on Twitter, you can follow me at @Discord_Inc.
You can find me at Dowfac.
And until next time, the Beast Wars continue.
Beast or bot, we're still the baddest.